welcome you in to another episode of Inside Boxing Live. I am your host, Dan Canobio, joined as always by my wonderful co-host in sunny Florida, the former world champion, Mr. Chris Algieri. It's a very special episode today, Chris. You know why? Because it is the dawning of a new era. It is the era of PPV.com matching up, partnering, extending our wonderful partnership with IBL. I'm so excited, Chris.
Yeah, I mean, the last big announcement was when I first came on. So I'm here for all of these big announcements and new eras. We're in another new era. And hopefully we have many more new eras in the future because we're going to ride this thing to the wheels fall off.
That is the big announcement. We have partnered with PPV.com. We're extending our partnership because last year they sent us to Spence Crawford. They sent us to Canelo versus Charlo. They hopped on board a few episodes. We did a lot of in-ring breakdowns. So the partnership now will be doing two episodes a week of the critically acclaimed Inside Boxing Live podcast. We'll be boots on the ground, on-site coverage at all the big pay-per-view events. I'll have a weekly live chat every Wednesday at 3 p.m. We'll have a ton of more content coming your way. So we're very excited to extend this partnership with PPV.com. It is the premier way to order pay-per-views and watch pay-per-views. It's most convenient, it's most reliable, and it's the most engaging way to stream pay-per-view events. Enjoy exclusive live chats. We're going to be on every fight night, starting with Zou versus Thurman. We're going to be in the live chat with Jim Lampley, Lance Pugmire, Kevin Ioli will be in there from time to time. And what I think is the best part about PPV.com is there's no subscriptions ever. Just order the fights you want. You can stream them to your phone, you can stream them to your tablet, you can stream them to your laptop, and of course you can stream them to your big screen TV. We're going to kick off things with Thurman Zou Fight Week, which is next week. That's March 30th. You can order right on PPV.com. We'll be there, boots on the ground, giving you the best coverage possible. So that's it, Chris. That's the big announcement. Some of our fans will really care. It's for the most part just status quo. If anything, we're doing more shows, bringing you more coverage. It's going to be a great time.
Yeah, I mean, nothing really changes in terms of the fans. I mean, PPV.com is the only way I watch the pay-per-view fights at this point. Once I figured it out, I was like, oh, okay, this is a lot easier.
It's so easy.
It's so much easier.
You don't have to sign up for anything. You just go right to the website or right to the app, and then boom, you're on. And the live chat's pretty cool. We're going to be in that live chat every fight night.
Yeah, that'll be fun. That's that way I can stay off Twitter so I don't get canceled. So we can just do it in a live
you're
chat.
Very,
so
you want to
see me get,
on Twitter.
If you want to see me get Twitter canceled, join in a live chat. Yeah because I'm going to get canceled. I should avoid Twitter like the plague. So
I very rarely see you on Twitter. You're more of an Instagram
guy. I don't do it anymore because I get into fights with idiots. So
yeah. So thank you to PPV.com, and that's the best way to order pay-per-views. And we're going to be doing a ton of content. So keep it locked for everything on our socials. And yeah, I'm excited to start this partnership. Let's get into the show. Last night, we'll start with what we saw over the weekend. William Zepeda, oh my goodness gracious. This guy blitzes Maxi Hughes in four rounds. He landed 161 punches, Chris, in 12 minutes. 58 body shots. He averaged 40 of 101 punches a round. Maxi Hughes didn't stand a chance in there. He just got blown out. It was just an unbelievable performance from Zepeda, who's now must-watch television, is now at the top five-ish lightweight. I don't know if he can beat any of the top lightweights, but I got to see this guy in there with all the top names at 135 now.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the guy is a punching machine. And listen, I like Maxi Hughes. I called his fight against George Kambosos. I thought he won that fight hands down. And I'm glad he got a big opportunity, but this was not the right guy for him. I mean, Zepeda is one of those guys. He's big. He's strong. He's aggressive. He's a nonstop punching machine. And listen, you're the copy box guy. You're the numbers guy. Were you averaging 100 punches a round? I think that's actually his actual average, right?
His average, over his last 10 fights, he was averaging 99 punches a round, which is like 45 more than the next guy.
That's out of control. I've been a guy who threw 100 punches a round in multiple fights in my career. But there was exceptional fights. This guy does it every show, every fight, every opportunity. He's just like unloading. And he's got heavy hands. He's got power. He's a Mexican fighter. He's fun to watch. I'm a big fan of Zepeda. I've been saying that for a little bit now. Again, I said I was a fan of Maxi too, but this is just the wrong guy to go against. I mean, he got blitzed in four rounds. Corner mercifully stopped it after the fourth because he was getting beat to the body so bad. Every punch was hurting him. And there was just no slowing down for Zepeda. I've been saying this for a while. I like Zepeda against all of the top guys at 135. Does he beat them? Just like you said, I don't know. But it'll be fun. and I'm down for it. So get him in there with everybody. I think he's this kind of fight, this kind of performance puts him right there where he's going to be able to vie and call for fighting all these guys. So let's go. I'm down for it.
Well, William Zepeda is now the mandatory for the IBF world title, and he's the mandatory for the WBA. The IBF will be settled between Vasily Lomachenko and George Kambosos. The WBA champion is Gervonta Davis. No one is mentioning Gervonta Davis because Gervonta Davis kind of does his own thing and operates.
Well, he can't
his...
fight any of these guys because they're in different organizations across the street. It's so stupid, this whole idea that these guys can't cross over and fight. So, yeah.
So he's in a mandatory position. That doesn't mean much of anything these days. You can be a mandatory for years. Look at David Benavidez. Really doesn't mean much. But he's now at the top of the division, and he's going to look at names like the winner of Lomachenko versus Kambosos. Shakur Stevenson, WBC world champion, who is returning July 6th. As of just recording this today, I'm looking at Twitter, and I see Bob Arum welcoming a fight between William Zepeda and Shakur Stevenson. To me, I think that's a really fun fight. I think that's stylistically the perfect clash of styles is William Zepeda versus Shakur Stevenson. Shakur needs someone to come forward. He needs someone that's going to bring the fight to him. That's all William Zepeda knows. Shakur can pick him apart, and I would ultimately think that Shakur would win that fight. I mean, it's right there. They can make it happen. Golden Boy and Top Rank have worked together in the past. Shakur is looking for a dance partner on July 6th in Newark. I mean, there's no excuses why Shakur and Zepeda can't get in there next.
That fight makes a lot of sense because we're going to get answers either way. Either way, Shakur is everything that we think he is. And he's able to outbox, outwork, outsmart, out everything, outslick a guy like Zepeda, or he's going to fold under the pressure. And he can't handle a guy who's going to be two-fisted assault, heavy hands. And in that case, then okay, we move on. Like, listen, it answers a lot of questions, this fight. Because it's a perfect style matchup in terms of completely opposing styles, opposing approaches to the ring. I like that fight. I like that fight a lot. And it's one that I thought made a lot of sense for a while now. So listen, make that fight happen and right away. Because listen, Zepeda, that basically was a sparring session for him. I don't think he's going to need much time to recover. So bring him right back. I think he's ready to go get that paper. Get that big fight. Let's go.
It didn't really make George Kambosos look that great, who went life and death with Maxie Hughes. I understand styles
life
make
and death.
Fights.
He got outboxed. He got thoroughly outboxed.
Outboxed, and then he gets blitzed by Zepeda. The other belt, these are the WBO, which will be settled by, who is it? Emmanuel Navarrete is fighting Baranchuk, and that is supposedly be sometime in the spring. Early summer. So that's all Top Rank
That's going to be May, I believe it's May 20th in San Diego.
Okay, perfect. Thank you, Chris. So the lightweight division is pretty much controlled by Top Rank right now. You also have to keep in mind that Shakur Stevenson, from what I know, is on the last fight of his deal with Top Rank. So you could see Lomachenko and Kambosos winner fighting the winner of the Navarrete fight. They freeze out Shakur. Zepeda gets frozen out. So there's a lot of moving parts at lightweight. Once again, it's boxing, politics, and a puzzle piece. I could see that happening. I see Top Rank going with Navarrete fighting the winner of Loma versus Kambosos, and then Shakur eventually getting a piece of that later. I could see Shakur fighting someone on July 6th that's not William Zepeda, someone that's going to make Shakur look great, and then they figure it out from there, sign a new contract. There's a lot of moving parts at 135, but I ultimately think what we learned last night is that William Zepeda now has to be in the discussion for any of these guys.
Yeah, I agreed. And I think he has been for a while. I think people who are really paying attention, but now he already kicked in the door. There's no denying that he belongs in the upper echelon of these guys. And again, not saying he beats any of these guys or all of these guys, but he belongs into the discussion. As a potential opponent for any one of the top guys at 135. And listen, it's going to be fun regardless. So let's go.
All right. So Zepeda wins in unbelievable fashion. I'm watching him fight last night and I'm like, oh my God, this is like, it's almost, I was almost laughing at points because it was just so relentless. Non-stop. And everyone in the crowd, like if you look around at the crowd, rewatch the fight, see everyone in like the front couple seats, they're on their feet. They're like smiling ear to ear. They're so excited because they're seeing something that you just don't see in boxing anymore. I think he's the new Chocolatito, except he's got a lot more power. It got me thinking, like, who are the most exciting fighters in boxing today. Who are the five most exciting boxers in the game today? And I put together a list, got no particular order, but these are just some of the names. Chris, you can give me yours in just a second. But I'm going to go with William Zepeda in there. I mean, a guy that throws 100 punches around and knocks guys out is must-watch TV, and he's got power, and he seems like he wants to put on a show for everyone, and he's very hungry. I also got David Benavidez in there. He's the guy, the Mexican monster. He comes into the ring looking to dish out punishment. He enjoys knocking guys out. He enjoys stopping guys. He enjoys fighting the top opponents, and he likes to put on a show. Also have Naoya Inoue. This is a guy that we love waking up at the ass crack of dawn to watch him lay down beatdowns on the next best opponent possibly out there. He's got dynamite in both hands. There's something special when Naoya Inoue steps into the ring. I got Gervonta Davis on this list as well, because when he comes into the ring, it's most likely going to end in a knockout. It's only a matter of when. It's like he's walking a tightrope and all of a sudden a bomb detonates and Gervonta Davis has another highlight reel knockout. And then I'll end the list with Artur Beterbiev, who I think combines, there's no one today that combines boxing and power better than Artur Beterbiev, 100% knockout rate. The guy's a monster. The only thing that kind of sucks is he's getting up there in age, but it hasn't slowed down at all. That's my five most exciting fighters in the game right now, Chris.
Hey, Dan, very good list.
Thank you, sir.
I think you and I actually spoke about this exact list not too long ago. I'm going to add three names because I agree with everyone you said on there, but I'm going to add three guys just to mix it up a little bit.
Okay.
Number one, Bam Rodriguez. Dude, love watching me some Bam. Very technical. He brings it. That last performance was phenomenal in every way, from top to bottom. He's exciting. He's technical. He's got power for the lighter weights. He throws tons of punches. Bam Rodriguez, definitely one of the most excited fighters in the world. Lee Wood. He's the British Arturo Gatti. Come on.
That's Rocky. Rocky incarnated.
Yeah, he's Rocky. He's a 130-pound Rocky. He's
Rocky with a perm.
Yeah. Yeah. He's got a mushroom top. It's cool. That's in right now. So
get the broccoli YouTuber haircut.
Yeah, exactly. But man, listen, the guy can fight. The guy can punch. The guy's tough as nails. He will fight on anybody. He'll fight anybody, take on anybody. Then what was the other? Oh, Jaime Munguia.
Nice.
Jaime Munguia is not in bad fights, man. That guy is allergic to bad fights. That Debrashenko fight was phenomenal. Even his last fight against John Ryder, against someone he completely outmatched, it was fun to watch. He could hit with some shots. He could hit with some right hooks. You know, John is always in fun fights as well. Well, unless he's thinking it out to get robbed. But otherwise, it was, Munguia is always in good fights. I'm trying to think, is there anybody else?
That's pretty good. I haven't through the weight classes.
That's my three addition. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's a very solid eight right there. You can't go wrong with any of those guys. They're always in fun fights. And the best part about it is a lot of these guys that we just listed are going to be in some of the bigger fights in 2024. Zepeda's in line for a big one. Benavidez, he's either going to fight Vodzik, Canelo, or someone at 175, maybe even Beterbiev, who I have on this list. Naoya Inoue is fighting Luis Neri on May 6th. And Gervonta Davis is penciled in to fight Frank Martin on June 15th. So not only are these guys like some of the most exciting, they are active for the most part. And so are your guys. Lee Wood, I think, is moving up in weight. Munguia is fighting Canelo. And Bam Rodriguez is looking to fight Juan Francisco Estrada, bro.
Dan, so we haven't talked about this offline even yet. Like when that came out, I was like, man, this is a dream fight. This is one of those like pound for pound winner of this fight. Is we're talking pound for pound, maybe top six, top five. Like, I mean, a lot of people have Juan Francisco Estrada on their pound for pound already. Bam is knocking on the door, and a win here, especially if it's impressive. Come on, man, you got to throw him in the mix. And listen, it's two guys who throw a ton of punches. It's the young lion versus the old warrior. It makes so much sense that this fight can't not happen. I think it is going to happen. And it's one that guys like you and I are going to be literally over the moon about.
Yeah. I mean, everyone has Juan Francisco Estrada. Like, I feel like a lot of the pundits that make these pound for pound lists, they put him in at 10, almost like a sign of respect.
Yeah. He's like 8, 9, 10. Yeah.
Right. To a sign of respect or a sign of, just to represent the smaller weights in there. He clearly is the best of the smaller weights for years. Obviously, he beat Chocolatito. And then Bam Rodriguez, 23 years old, just like one, like he's running out of opponents. Like eventually he's going to have to move up, keep moving up and up and up until he eventually fights Inoue in maybe a year or two or 3 years from now. So He's all the exciting guys.
I mean, it's going to be a while for that.
Right, but I'm just saying, like, at this rate, I mean, it goes against conventional wisdom of boxing, how they build these guys. He's 23, and he's almost beaten everyone notable at 112, 115. Like, he's just going to keep going up. I keep forgetting. Yeah, he's at 115 now, right? So,
yeah, there's a big gap now.
He's not, I'm going to check myself on the fly here and say that was crazy. I'd rather see Nakatani go towards Inoue.
Woo! And honestly, I mean, I wouldn't mind Nakatani and Bam either. I mean, Nakatani, he was just outside of saying most exciting fighters when we were talking about it. I need to see more of him. I mean, I guess we got 8, right? He could be my number 9.
Then you got to have one more. It's going to go for 135. I was going through the weight classes. 140. It's just there's not that much excitement. There you have Matias. Pretty exciting.
Yeah. Again, need to see more, especially at a top flight level. I'm sure we're missing some like awesome Japanese fighters or some.
Yeah, all those guys at the lower weights,
smaller weight guys, because they're always fun.
Heavyweight. I mean, Joshua is pretty exciting now. He's got himself in the mix. Yeah,
but he's had too many duds recently, for my liking. He's looked great recently. And listen, I'm a huge Anthony Joshua fan. I have been for a long time. I think he's had several duds in the past 18 months that would keep him out of the most exciting in my book.
Okay. So Zepeda really made a name for himself over the last couple of fights. And then last night was his real coming out party. And it was awesome to see. Did you see Floyd Schofield? I keep saying his name wrong. Did you see Floyd Schofield wins a disqualification over you? A unanimous disqualification, I would say that, over Esteri Suero,
UDQ, guys. UDQ.
Right, there's now mandatory unifications, between two commissions. Now we have a unanimous disqualification. I never want to see this guy Suero near a ring again. Like, this guy was the dirtiest fighter I've seen in a long time. His last fight, he bit someone. Fight before that, he got disqualified. He was like trying to pull the shoulder of Schofield. He was doing all sorts of dirty, punching behind the head. Get this guy out of here. Give me a break.
Yeah, get this guy out of here for one, but also Schofield needs these kind of fights. He needs someone who's going to be physical on him. It makes me think of this. We're going way in the crates here, Dan. I hope you remember this fight. Manny Pacquiao versus Agapito Sanchez.
No.
Ooh. Agapito, God bless him. He was a good fighter, but he was dirty as hell. And he headbutted Manny, and Manny got cut bad. And it was one of the only times, especially at 126, where you saw Manny look human. He was complaining and having a lot of trouble dealing with Agapito. Agapito was a really tough, rough customer. Just made the fight just ugly. I remember watching that and be like, even when I was studying the fight, Pacquiao, I was like, you know what? He doesn't like certain things. I'm not a headbutter, obviously. But also, I've seen him have trouble. I've seen him get uncomfortable. I think it's important for fighters in their career to have these kinds of fights. I have multiple in my career. I was headbutted by guys, elbowed, guys who were just really rough on the inside. It's an important part of the progression for budding stars. So I don't hate this fight. I don't like that it was so high in the card in terms of a TV bout, because obviously it makes for an ugly fight. But I think Schofield, where he's headed with the talent that he has, these fights are very necessary.
I think he's a budding star. I think he got emotional, which is going to happen. Co-main event of a nice DAZN show in Las Vegas. It's very clear that Suero got into the head of Schofield all week long. He knew that was going to be a dirty fight. And you see this a lot with young fighters, and they become a little in love with their power. Schofield is extremely explosive. He's extremely athletic. I mean, he was cutting off the ring without jabbing. He was cutting off the ring with pretty much jumping in there, throwing these dynamite left hooks, but he wasn't mixing it up. He wasn't jabbing at all. He wasn't setting it up. He was fighting off of pure emotion, which is going to happen when you're youthful. And I think he ultimately looked good in there, and he handled a dirty fighter. Like you said, you almost have to have those types of fights moving up. Shame you had to see it on a co-main event. I like Schofield, but I think ultimately we need to slow down a little bit, because he's mentioning some of the biggest names at 135. Just slow down a little bit. Very good prospect, and definitely in that bottom lower half of prospects that can eventually see you know, themselves rise up in a few years.
Yeah, absolutely. I just looked at Agapito Santos. I failed to mention that he got a draw with Pacquiao. So that's the technical draw. But yeah, these guys are out there. These guys that are going to be rough and tumble. And I think it's important. And like you said, he didn't handle it the best way possible. And that's okay. That happens. But like you said, there's going to be some more development, more marinating necessary for him. Before we start talking about the top of this weight class, especially because his weight class is so deep. If this was a weaker weight class, then you're like, yeah, okay, you know, we can arm with these bigger. We don't want to waste the talent of someone like this. There is no rush. There's a lot of good, talented, very, very deep guys in this weight class, so no need to rush Schofield. Excuse me.
Yeah, talking about 135. Just going back to Shakur. Shakur Stevenson will be back in action July 6th in Newark. Doesn't have an opponent. Who, if you were the matchmaker at Top Rank, and they have some of the best. Who would you match up Shakur with? If it's not going to be one of the big names, you got to figure it's going to be someone that will stand in front of him and engage, right?
Yeah, obviously, not a puncher like De Los Santos was in terms of someone who is a sharp counterpuncher with who actually has power. Super dangerous guy.
I'm not necessarily looking for a name, more of a style, more of like considering where he's at in his career. I've never seen a guy fall off so quickly in terms of the court of public opinion. I mean, the guy can't go a single day without people, you know, calling him this, that, and the other, calling him a runner, calling him this, that. He needs a knockout, which is kind of unfair to just say about someone. He needs an outstanding before a stoppage. He needs to stand and trade. He said he talked to Bud. He said he talked to Andre Ward, and he said he's going to turn it all the way up in this fight. So he's going in there kind of changing up his style.
What does that mean? Turn it all up. How? Listen, I'm a fighter, and you could have all these ideas going into a fight. You can say anything under the sun. Listen, when you get into the ring and you got another guy in front of you who doesn't want to lose, it's a whole nother world. And you might have an idea. What's that classic saying, Dan?
Everyone has a plan until they get punched in the face.
Yep. I don't care what level you're at. Mike Tyson. I don't care how good you are not getting punched in the face. Shakur, you can't say things like, I'm going to turn all the way up. Well, you better have the right guy in front of you. Because you turn all the way up at De Los Santos, you might get knocked out. You know, so what are we saying here? So, yeah, I think who he fights next is more important than what he says going into the fight.
I don't like that he's listening. He's listening to the criticism. He's very much online. He's constantly tweeting. You know, he's searching his name on Google. You know, he's searching his name on Twitter. That's what I mean. It's like he's listening and he's trying to change up his style, which he almost has to. You don't have to say I'm going to turn it all the way up, but it's gotten to the point now where he almost like has to say those things, and I just don't like that. That's like in baseball, step up to the plate, and it's like, yo, I'm going to hit a home run here. Like if Aaron Judge is like, oh, I'm going to swing out of my shoes. I'm going for a knockout. I'm going for the home run. You're going to strike out. Like, you're going to miss.
I got a couple names. Ready?
Okay.
Joseph Diaz.
Jojo Diaz?
Jojo. Yep.
Is he still with Golden Boy? I think he's on like a losing streak, but okay.
He is. I mean, he lost his last fight, but it was a very close fight. But it's a name recognition, and it's a guy stylistically that I think would give him some kind of issue for some part of it, but he should completely handle him. If we're going to think – so immediately when you said this, I said Jose Valenzuela. He was the guy that De Los Santos knocked out who got dropped by him too. That fight made sense. The problem is he has so few fights. He's only 13-2. Mm-hmm. Hey, listen, you want to call out Ryan Garcia? Go tune up Oscar Duarte. Right, Duarte's back at 35. He was never a 40-pounder. That's an option right there. Go out there and just completely smoke him. You want to? Trying to think who else here. What are we looking at? Yeah, I mean, listen again. The Jojo Diaz isn't just name. Obviously, you're picking on someone who's a little bit older, a little bit long in the tooth. Jose Valenzuela is the opposite. He's very young and inexperienced. And then Duarte is a guy just based on, his performance against Ryan Garcia and getting into that Ryan Garcia sweepstakes. Listen, there's so much attention around Ryan that any kind of lateral parallel movement with him is a good thing. And then listen, if you really want to like step up, Raymond Murataya.
Oh, dude, that's the name no one's mentioning. I'm glad you brought that up.
He is a demon. In this weight class, he is very, very talented.
I think Zepeda could fight him.
Ooh, yeah.
I don't think Shakur is going to fight Murata. It's too dangerous.
I agree. I don't think the people. I don't think his people would allow him to fight.
Murata is top with rank. Top rank. He's ranked seventh by the Ring magazine
right
now.
But wait. You mentioned that Shakur last fight with Top Rank, right?
I believe so. Don't quote me on that, but that's what I've seen.
You don't resign. You fight our stud. That's that's a promoter's work. That's promoter's 101. Oh, you're not going
to
resign.
Is that what the promoters do?
Yeah, you feed him to the next guy coming up.
Yeah, I don't know if they want to. Do they want to keep Shakur though? Do they want to give him a fight where he's going to go in there against someone of a name, someone that's going to come forward, someone that could produce a knockout? Then he starts, banging the drum for the winner of Loma versus Cambosos, Zepeda. He can call out Tank. He can call out. He needs a stoppage.
I'm going to assume Top Rank wants him.
All right. Does he want Top Rank?
He wants. Cha-ching. That's what he wants.
So, right now, his value, another baseball reference, like his value couldn't be any lower. Like if he was trying to be traded right now, or he was about to be a free agent, his stock and his value is probably as low as it's been as a pro.
I don't necessarily agree because he has value still. So it's not like he is a broken stat or a broken stock. He still has an opportunity to come back. He's just at a low right now. He's in a bit of a price depression. But there's still a lot of value in that. Like, yeah, listen, Apple stock has dropped before. But listen, that's a long game. And I think with Shakur, he's a long game prospect stock.
You brought up Ryan Garcia, and just attaching your name to one of his ex-opponents might be a move, considering this guy is everywhere. We didn't talk about him on the last episode. It's almost unavoidable at this point. The reason why I haven't spoken much about Ryan Garcia, I haven't tweeted much about him, haven't really given my opinion, is because I simply don't know. It's all speculation. We don't know what's going on in the mind of Ryan Garcia. We don't know if this is a mental breakdown. We don't know if this is an elaborate ploy. I'm leaning more towards the former than the latter at this point. No one is that sophisticated to run a troll job like this. Given what I know about Ryan and some of his mental health issues, he hopped on this very channel, this very podcast 2 years ago and told the whole world that he was suicidal, and that made headlines everywhere. So, this guy has suffered mental health problems. It's very strange to watch someone going through something as fans, as people, and just kind of like brush it off or kind of just be like, hey, I maybe he'll fight, maybe he won't. I feel like no one's stepping up, but someone is stepping up now because the WBC is in lockstep with the New York Athletic Commission, and the New York State Athletic Commission has said, we want to run a mental evaluation on Ryan Garcia. Ryan gets wind of it, puts out a video, says, I'm suing the commission. This is free speech. I'm not doing anything crazy. I'm just speaking freely in America. But this is what I said from my only tweet I put out on this was that it's going to ultimately come down to the New York State Athletic Commission because they're the ones liable. Just like a fighter is injured, just like a fighter might have an eye problem, mental health is also part of the criteria. You would know better than me. You're one that tested with the New York State Athletic Commission. So that's my little rant on Ryan Garcia. I don't really have many answers. I don't know if we'll make it to fight night. I know there's a lot of money on the line. I know there's a lot of money that he provides for his family. And that's sadly a big part of all of this. But Chris, I wanted to ask you as a boxer, you haven't yet hung up the gloves officially yet, but as a guy that stepped into the ring, mental health, big part of the sport. And is there any part of you that kind of has like pity for Ryan Garcia? Is any part of you that kind of understands what he's going through? What's your thoughts on him potentially getting into the ring when you're going through something mental, especially with someone like Devin Haney?
Well, I got two pronged here. One, I have zero pity. Like, listen, this is part of what being in the mainstream is all about. Mm-hmm. Being a fighter is a very, very difficult mental challenge from beginning to end. It's one of the hardest things you can ever do. I believe it is the most difficult sport in the world. At any time. I mean, boxing is just a different level. And the amount of pressure that's put on high-level athletes, guys who are in the spotlight, it's a lot of times it seems insurmountable. But listen, we deal with it. And it's nothing new. We always have. So, listen, I mean, he was in the spotlight way before he fought. I've said it on multiple shows before. He's not a world champion. He may never be, but he has a lot of eyes on him, and it's very, very difficult for a young man. And I understand that, but I don't have pity. We deal with it. This is what being a champion is all about, or being a high-level athlete, or being someone who makes $100 million in a fight, which he said himself, if that was the case, or it has $100 million, whatever that case may be. I don't feel bad for a guy who was $100 million, who made $100 million doing what he's doing, and dealing with the mental and psychological ramifications of being able to produce that kind of money. So that being said, I don't have pity for guys like that. I don't have pity for any fighter. Listen, we're fighters. This is what we do. This is the world we live in. And you chose to do this. You don't have to fight. So there really is no room for pity. Now, in terms of the New York State Athletic Commission, that is New York doing New York stuff. Shut up. Let the guy do whatever he wants to do. He can say whatever he wants. He can whatever. It has nothing to do with his ability to fight. You said, like, oh, they can stop the fight. They're liable. No, they're not. For what? His mental health? Like, no, they're not. They're not liable for his mental health. If he goes out there and shits the bed and gets beat and whatever, like, okay. Like, that's never happened before. It's not on New York State Athletic Commission. It's not on anyone. It's on him. So if he wants to show up unprepared and get beat up, that's on him. He's going to get a big old paycheck, and he's going to let down a lot of people, everyone involved. That's really where my stance on this whole thing is. If he is going through a legitimate crisis, where's the people around him who care, one? Two, where is the onus on him to not let all these people down? This is a multi-million dollar operation in terms of the promotion, the other fighters, Devin Haney, everyone on the undercard. And if he's going to pull out of this fight as we get closer, that really messes things up. And it is unfair to everyone else involved. But we'll never know. Because like you said, what is this? Is this a troll? Is this selling the fight? Is this a legitimate psychotic break? Is this drug use? We'll never know.
Is this all of the above?
Is this all of the above, which is probably more likely? So, yeah, no, this whole thing has been very bizarre. And that's the best word I could ever.
Bizarre, man. Bizarre. I've been asked about it a lot. He did come to the John Boy media offices. We were friendly at one point. A lot of people, who aren't boxing fans, when they see Ryan Garcia, they think of me because we, did a lot of interviews together and a lot of content. So I was asked a lot about it. And then it's gotten to the point now where it's like, I think a lot of fans and a lot of people that are following aren't like really fascinated by it anymore. I know a lot of people are muting him. It's becoming too much. And I honestly think it's hurting the promotion at this point. I think a lot of people are on the fence about flying into New York City for a full weekend. It's very expensive. I think a lot of people are
That's
on the
my
fence.
Point.
Yes, I don't think it's actually helping the promotion anymore. I think it's starting to hurt the promotion. It's hard to plan. It's not like a game or a sport like baseball. It's like, oh, I'll catch the game Sunday if I can't go Saturday. You have to plan your whole weekend around the fight. And there's a lot of people involved in this outside of just Ryan Garcia. You got Golden Boy involved. You got Barclays Center involved. You have vendors. You have all sorts of things. So it's very, very
also,
strange.
Bringing a sporting event like this into New York is a big deal. We don't get a lot of big boxing anymore. We're not Vegas, man. This is a big deal. Coming to the Barclays Center, this is a massive, massive fight. And like you said, there's going to be people flying in. Devin's in Vegas. Ryan's in California. They need people traveling to get there. New York City's not close, man. Like you said, people are scheduling weekends. They're booking hotels. They're like, that's an expensive weekend. And that was my point to all the people that are investing all this kind of money into it. I was speaking about the promoters and the fighters and whatnot. But yeah, the fans too, man. Like we have a respect level for the fans. We have a duty to put out for the fans as well, aside from just not showing up in shape, but also getting to fight night is important, man, because there's a lot of people who are spending their hard-earned money to see you and support you. So you have a duty to put out for the fans, man. I truly believe that. I always felt that way. But yeah, this whole situation is bizarre.
Oscar was on last night with Mannix, and he said, hey, don't pay attention to the posts. Those take 5-10 seconds to make. I just talked to him. He's training. He's posting stuff training as well, in addition to the, all the insane other stuff.
Yeah, but those podcasts you do don't take 5 seconds to make. He's on podcasts every other day.
Like, he's going with George Jenko and Conservative Men and Truthful This, and then these accounts now that I've been clicking on just to see Ryan's what he's talking about. And now Twitter's feeding me a lot of these like conspiracy accounts, and it's nuts. Not that I'm not really a conspiracy guy, but he's tapped into that crowd. If he does make it to fight night, I think if he weighs in, I think it's going to be a really big walk-up crowd because you talked about New York City not having fights.
I hope he wears a tinfoil hat into the ring.
He should just really lean into a tinfoil hat.
I mean, why not?
Have George, what's the guy, Alex Jones, walk him into the ring?
Alex Jones.
There will be a tremendous walk-up the day of the fight if he goes through with the weigh-in.
Yeah, because... I mean, I would say the QAnon turnout is going to be really big on that day. I would imagine. Bro,
I want the fight to happen.
We're supposed to go. Yes. We definitely want to.
And more than just that, like we work in the bit. Like I just think it's going to be a good event. Like obviously, it's taken a weird turn, and it started off like the first press conference was really fun, and like the lead up was fun, and it started off so innocent. Remember the first to have this started with the Super Bowl meetup, and that was like felt like it was 10 years ago, and a whole different time where they just were shoving each other, normal boxing hijinks, and then it took such weird turns, but.
Which looked super contrived, by the way. That didn't look real.
But you know what I mean? Like, that's like, compared to the last 4 weeks, that's nothing.
Yeah.
Gun to your head. Does Ryan Garcia get into the ring April 20th?
No. I've been saying that. That's the only thing I've been consistent about. I don't think the fight happens. And I think that Team Haney was smart in throwing out Barbosa's hat into the mix, because not that really anyone cares to see that fight, but at least Haney. So this, think of it from a fighter's perspective. Haney has now, because listen, you go to these press conferences and your opponent's acting like this and doesn't seem like he's training and he looks like he's drunk. Maybe this whole ploy, right? Maybe he's just trying to get you to put your guard down. So Haney has that idea. Look at this guy. I'm gonna smash this guy. He's not even training. Meanwhile, Ryan's busting his ass. We don't know that. That could be the case. So Haney being smart and Team Haney, Bill, being smart, throws Barbosa into the mix. Hey, listen, Barbosa's fighting the card. He'll be in shape. He'll fight. So then Haney now has in his mindset, all right, if Ryan falls out, I still have a guy in front of me who's going to come in shape and try and kick my ass. I need to be in shape. I need to train hard. Granted, stylistically, it's a very, very different fight. Talent level, very, very different fight. But regardless, I need to be in shape. So I think that was a good ploy from Team Haney to throw that little caveat in there. Like, well, listen, I got to be in shape because regardless, I'm fighting. Whether this guy shows up or not, whether this fight gets bailed or not, I'm fighting that night. I need to be in shape. I need to make weight. So I think that was very smart.
Yeah, it was definitely smart. Everything Haney does is smart. Golden Boy, too. Yeah. It's a Golden Boy fighter. I think he does fight. I think we do make it. I think...
I hope so. My fingers are crossed, man. I hope it does. I hope he comes in shape. I hope he tries to win. I hope all that.
Part of me, like, there's a curiosity factor. I think that all humans feel. Like, that human, like... Like when you see a train wreck or you see a crash on the side of the street, you look at it and you rubberneck and you take a look and you're curious. I think there's a little bit of that going on, even though I did say before that's kind of crossed over into a lot of people are turned off. But if he does make it to the fight and he steps into the ring, I think there's going to be such a curiosity factor. Don't think he's going to win. He does have that left hook. I just want to get to fight night because I just think it's an interesting fight. And I think it's would be a really...
It'll be an event.
Event, right. The inside. Imagine the Barclay. We finally get to fight night. And he's finally in the ring. There's all this commotion about whether or not he's going to make it there, whether or not he's going to fight. He finally gets that ring walk. It's going to be all eyes on it because that's what boxing is. I mean, you can say you're turned off by all this stuff. You can say you're disgusted by it, which I've been reading. You could say it. I'm not going to watch. But come April 20th, you'll be ordering on PPV.com, watching Ryan Garcia and Devin Haney, or whether you're in the building because you can't look away. It's boxing. You're addicted to this sport, and whatever Ryan Garcia is doing, he's having us spend 15, 20 minutes on it, and he's got the whole, not just sporting world, just like all different sorts of creators, all different avenues are all tapped in to Ryan Garcia, which is nuts. Have you seen some of Derek James? Like Derek James is like, he just posted something. Ryan Garcia was like shadow boxing in slow motion. And you can see Derek James in the background, not looking too thrilled at all.
I mean, yeah, some of the videos are he's hitting the heavy bag that have been very uninspired at the very least. But I love the comments like RJZone posting like, oh, listen to the sound of these punches. Like, Really? You never seen someone hit a bag before, huh?
Social media manager on shift that day, was handed that, and hey, put a caption on this. It's just anything Ryan Garcia right now does numbers, and a lot of people exploiting it. A lot of people, you know, weighing in when they don't know, and you know, I've kind of reserved my opinions on it because I don't know. None of us know for sure. I think I don't know him that well. I know that his dad is part of his camp, but also I know that the family. Like, this is how they make their income. Like, their family depends on him. And, like, a lot of people depend on him. His ex-wife and all the mother of his children depend on him. And there was a lot of pressure on him and all that. So I wanted to get your thoughts. Like, just one last thing. On the New York State Athletic Commission, when you did your evaluations and stuff, did you do a mental evaluation?
No. No, it's a neurological exam. It's to make sure that you can touch your nose. You have a memory. You can remember numbers, dates, times, words. You can stand on one foot. Your ribs aren't broken. Your hands aren't broken. This isn't a NYPD exam. You don't need to.
What are they going to do? What would they even do? Listen, like, would they outsource like some type of mental physician?
Personally, I think psychologically, fighters need to be broken to begin with in order to step in a ring and fight.
That's true.
So what are you really testing? How many crazy fighters have there been? Probably most, you know.
You guys are out of your minds. I spent my whole life 100%. Around fighters.
100%. There is absolutely no way he's normal. Fighting is not normal. Boxing is not normal. Fighting for a living is not normal. Getting half naked and fighting in front of a million people for money is not normal. It's not a normal psychological mindset to want to be able to do that. Most people look at that and go, I don't want anything to do with that. That sounds horrible. That sounds terrifying. Because it is. You're fighting a man who's trying to kill you, who is a professional killer. What are you doing? So, yeah, you can't. You cannot test the psychological wherewithal of someone and call off a fight.
So that whole thing, in your opinion, is nonsense?
Nonsense. Like I said, it's New York doing New York things, being way too overbearing. And New York State Athletic Commission has always been one of the tougher commissions, for good and for bad. They've had some legal troubles in the past. I think of the Magomed fight when he fought...
Mike Perez,
the black Irish guy, who, you know, that whole situation was very terrible. They lost a lot of money and things changed after that. Insurance changed after that. So New York City is a tough place to put on a card and have a fight. But
yeah, they're not going to pull the plug on it. They're not going to, commission's not going to pull the plug. I stand corrected. He's going to have to. I mean, if it doesn't happen, it's going to come from him. It's going to come from his team. It's not going to come from Oscar. It's not going to come from the WBC. I think the WBC, once again, Mauricio Sulaiman is just, you know, just covering his ass.
Honestly, Ryan saying he can sue them is not that far off. You can simply sue anybody. But, like, you're talking about a lot of money. If you don't allow him to fight, which won't happen again, he does have grounds for that.
Like, imagine he makes it to the weigh-in and they do like one last checkup and they're like, oh, no, sorry. But
I'm telling you from a fighter's perspective, there is no checkup.
Unless I'm just saying they had to outsource something. They'd have to do something they've never done according to, you know.
How legal and fair is that?
It doesn't seem fair at all.
We're going to make this a one-time thing that we're gonna test you psychologically. What are you going to put on my lie detector test? What are we doing? Like, I don't understand how in any way, any kind of testing practice would prove him either able to fight or not. So I think it's all nonsense.
But you still don't think he makes it to April 20th?
I don't. I mean, I'm leaning more towards it as we get closer. My issue is the very short amount of time he's had to train. He did not look in shape last week, and that was 5 weeks away. You know, we're approaching a month away. How long it takes to train for a 12-round fight. Championship-level fight at the highest level takes a lot of training camp. It takes a long time. Doesn't strike me as the kind of guy who stays in the gym either. Even when he's in camp, he's not in the gym. He's doing, you know, backyard workouts and stuff. So I don't know, man.
He just looks tired. Like, whenever he posts stuff, he just looks like he's going through. It looks like he's not getting any sleep. He looks like he's not, like, from what I've heard of training camps, it just doesn't look like he's doing. Like, when I watch his content and I look over at Devin Haney's stuff, it's night and day. It's like, come on. It's a way.
Devin's one of the most disciplined guys in the world of boxing today. And he trains very hard. There's a lot of people around him that are depending on him to do the work. And he does the work. He's been doing this since he was 12 years old and has not taken a break at all.
So I think that last post from Ryan, definitely, I think part of it is definitely a troll, because the last post, he had that bottle of Camus, that red wine. It's a very expensive bottle of wine, by the way.
Not very expensive. He says he's allowed to drink. He says he's allowing himself to drink wine.
He's drinking this bottle. There was no red wine in there. There's nothing in there. So that gives me the idea. There's some trolling going on for sure. Oh, I'm drinking during camp. Look at me, you know, with this bottle. Everybody doesn't drink in camp. You know, you're crazy. Like,
All right, Chris, that is our show. I want to thank PPV.com, our new partners. I'm so excited for this partnership. We're going to be at all the big fights. We're going to be in the live chat. I'm going to do a weekly chat, 2 episodes a week. We're back on Friday. Thank you so much. Remember, at all times, protect yourselves at all times. Keep your hands up at all times. Go to PPV.com, order some big fights. We'll see you next week.